Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Everybody, good morning, Mike. The Trump administration is an absolute free fall. The entire conservative movement is an absolute free fall after Donald Trump very clearly betrayed the American people. Not only are they spiraling in the polls, quite literally, Trump's approval rating is down among every single group, including working class white people without a college degree, which was historically his strongest demographic. He's now underwater 4 points. It's a 40-point drop. There has been a 45-point drop among people in my generation. So the polls are spiraling. Trump seems to be mentally declining very, very visibly and physically declining. While all of this is happening on the world stage, Hungary just lost their a tyrant prime minister and elected a pro-democracy, more liberal prime minister. So Viktor Orban is out. Then we learned that Hungary and Viktor Orban were funding CPAC, because that's how Viktor Orban operated in a very corrupt manner. He would fund these right-wing organizations. So CPAC is a conservative conference and a movement in America that is now going to be dissipated. So the MAGA movement is quite literally falling apart at the seams. And Mike and I are going to be talking about some of the recent news that's coming out. So Donald Trump just attacked the Pope again.
Yep.
The war with Iran seems to be sort of ramping up again, as the Strait of Hormuz is still in a mess and the United States is blockading it. And it seems like the 25th Amendment is being pushed very hard as Trump melts down again. So make sure you drop a like. Make sure you drop a heart if you're on Substack. We live and we breathe and we build our teams based on independent media and based on you all. So if you want to help contribute and help Mike and I build our teams, subscribe to both of us below. You can become a free or paid subscriber. Mike, you want to take it off, jump in anywhere you want. We got a lot to cover on this beautiful Wednesday.
I don't even know where the hell we start, but let's maybe talk about Trump's polling a little bit, because I think it's maybe the most interesting thing that I've seen, which is Trump is underwater with every group of people, including non-college educated white people, which is historically his base. And that erosion will destroy the Republican Party if it permeates out to the rest, and if Democrats are smart enough to engage with people and capitalize on it. Because when you look at the electoral map, when you look at the Senate map right now, it's hard for Democrats to take back the Senate. But if we win a state like Iowa, if we win a state like Ohio, that will mean that Democrats will take back the Senate, and that will give us the power to basically end Donald Trump's presidency overnight. He'll still be able to do executive actions. He'll still be able to control the military, but the oversight that we'll have, the accountability that we'll have, the ability to stop him from appointing judges or replace anybody on the Supreme Court makes a tremendous difference there. And so I think that that erosion might actually save American democracy. And you brought up the election in Hungary for a second, and then they elected, they booted out an autocrat in Viktor Orban. And we'll talk about him funding CPAC for a second, because I have a theory on that as well that I think is important. But they elected a man who's fairly conservative, but is obviously pro-democracy and much more liberal. I mean, again, being conservative in Europe is like the equivalent of being a moderate Democrat in the United States. But the coalition that was built that defeated Orban, like Orban would have rejected a close election result. It had to be too big to rig, to quote Miles, our friend Miles. And they built this coalition of liberals and conservatives and people on this issue and libertarians. And it was this wide coalition to the point where they have like control of 70% of the government right now. Like, it is a massive swing that allows them to rewrite the Constitution and create new protections on it. And I think that can happen here. I think if you're trying to make sense of this weird, goofy ass world that we live in, where Tucker Carlson and Nick Fuentes sometimes say things that make sense, like Trump is crazy and should be removed by the 25th Amendment, we may be able to build this big coalition. And I don't know if you saw Ro Khanna and Marjorie Taylor Greene were on CNN the other night talking about them creating a coalition on economic populism to try to help support the American people. And so I think we're in the midst of a transitive wave of change in American politics that we might not understand until later, that could deliver like a massive majority for the Democrats in 2028. If like they nominate J.D. Vance, we could see President John Ossoff with the same type of Senate majority that Barack Obama had in 2008, and a will and an understanding of power to execute on it at a tremendous level. And so a lot of people might be able to set aside our differences, as serious as they are. Like, look, I hate Nick Fuentes. He's a little shit weasel, sexist neo-Nazi. But like, if his people want to vote for my people, I'll take that support right now, because we got to beat MAGA and we got to beat Donald Trump and we got to beat these guys like Viktor Orban. who are just not, they don't believe in democracy, they're not good human beings, and they are destroying this country.
Yeah, it is wild to see how quickly it is all falling apart. It feels like MAGA was just a sophisticated marketing scheme to rebrand the same old Republican Party and do the same old policies, but in a little bit more radical way, like cutting taxes for the rich, cutting benefits for the vulnerable, and then starting war with a country that begins with IRA and then increasing the debt and causing a recession. It's like the same Republican playbook, but with just a little bit more sophisticated marketing wrapped in populism, wrapped in the flag, and this idea that we're going to drain the swamp. Donald Trump has very quickly become the swamp, and people are realizing this. The young people, the people across the board who voted with a little bit of hope. I think a lot of young people, for example, in their formative years, didn't remember how shitty Trump was during his first term, how deranged. So a lot of young people fell for it and people are waking up. I got a DM from this Trump supporter troll. I'm not even joking here. This Trump supporter troll that has been in my replies for like years and always saying, oh, here's Mockler with more liberal propaganda, DM'd me and said, the Iran war has had him rethinking all of this. Good. He said, after this war, it has quite literally hurt my ability to pay my bills. Gas prices are very high for him. He sent me this long, long thing. I read most of it and I said, hey man, this was very well said. Thank you for this. I was very genuine and I was accepting about it. I'm not going to, you know, shit on this guy when he's in a moment where he's right about to see the light. And I think many people are like this right now. I think the Iran war and Donald Trump's complete 180 on saying no new wars versus then starting a war that is inflicting like maximum damage on the American people's pocketbook is getting them very, very mad. And right when we think we're done with the war, we get pulled back into it. You know that quote from The Godfather 3? Right when I thought I was out of it, they pulled me back into it. That's exactly what it is. Donald Trump's like, we're negotiating in Islamabad. And then the next day, he's like, actually, we're blockading the Strait of Hormuz now. Then the next day, he's like, you know, they're begging for a deal. Then the next day, he said, they're not taking the negotiations seriously enough. It's like, okay, are they begging? Are they not taking it seriously enough? Complete contradictions with the Iran war. And I think it kind of translates downstream to all of the spiraling polling and the dementia we've talked about. It's all a spider web. It's all intertwined. Our demented president is spiraling and polling. So he's starting a war that's spiraling him more. It's awful.
Well, my friend Stephanie Miller says this all the time. It's like, it's just one scandal. There's just one scandal. There's just one story. It's not, it feels like a million, but when you pull the thread back, it's all the same stuff. I want to say something about your conversation with the MAGA guy who's in your comments, because I had a similar experience yesterday. So I came home after a long day's work. My son was at occupational therapy and I sat on my back patio and I put the Cubs game on. And it was a beautiful day out. And it took me forever to get the Cubs game on. Like, I couldn't find which freaking streaming service it was on because it was all a joke. And I got mad and I tweeted something that I'm going to run for president on a single issue of I should be able to watch the Cubs game with one streaming service. And I had this MAGA troll, this guy that's always shitting on me, go, I think you're a shit liberal, but I agree with everything you just said here. And I DM'd him. And then we started talking about it. And now we're building a little bit of an alignment on, hey, we're all getting fucked in this economy right now. Like the way that these corporations are taking advantage of us. And for like, I should not need YouTube TV and Hulu and Marquee and Amazon Prime to be able to watch the Cubs. Like, I just should not need that. And he was kind of into it. And I was like, all right, that's a little bit of a connection. Right. And I think if you're out there and you've got a parent, like I have two parents that voted for Donald Trump all three times. Although my mom might not have voted for him in 2020. I don't know if she voted or not. But like, I've got family members, I've got friends, I've got college buddies, I've got neighbors that voted for Donald Trump. If you've been waiting for your opportunity to talk to them, this is that moment right now. And I know a lot of people will say, I don't want to have to be the one to go talk to them. They should come talk to me. They're not going to admit that they were wrong. You've got to create the glide path for them. And if you want to moderate American politics, elect a Democratic president, get people back to a place of love and reason and understanding of one another, we got to go engage. And I think this is the time to do it. Don't lecture. Just listen, talk, have a conversation, because people are pissed about the war, pissed about gas prices, pissed about the corruption, pissed about the president of the United States posting an image of himself as Jesus. Although if you listen to him, he's a doctor with glowy hands and flowy robes. This is a moment to engage in a way that we haven't seen before. And let's not fall into that trap of being like, right. Like you're not married, Adam, I'm married. Like if you've ever like been in a marital argument where you were right, if you act like a smug asshole, you're still wrong. And you'd rather handle it in a way that Brené Brown has a quote that's like, would you rather get it right or be right? And there's getting it right. And getting it right is important right now because we can moderate this country. And I'm not saying moderate in that like moderate centrist bullshit thing. I'm saying like get people away from MAGA. Bring them back to the real world.
something that you and I both embody in our debates very intentionally is not being a smug asshole, is trying to get our point across. And I think this is an important moment to push back against people, but don't lecture and be an asshole. On your streaming services point, very quickly as an aside, it's interesting because there used to be just a few channels on the TV. And then it expanded to all these channels, like hundreds of channels you had to buy. So people were like, F this. I like how Netflix is just consolidated into one streaming package. I'm canceling this and I'm just going to Netflix to watch everything.
Yep.
Then as that migration happened, it turned into Netflix, Hulu, HBO Max, Disney Plus, Amazon Prime. And now we're running full circle back into the same problem of a bunch of channels. But that's kind of besides the point.
Well, they also, can I just say though, because they told us when we were doing this, we're moving to the streaming service platform. There's like, you're not going to have any ads. You're going to pay a little fee and you'll pay less money than with a cable streaming service. They all have ads now. Okay.
Yeah.
When I log into HBO Max to watch, I really like Rooster, the new Steve Carell show that's out. I have to watch three ads. I'm paying you to let me stream your services. And now I have ads again. Like, it's just, I watched the, are you familiar with the comedian Stavros?
Of course.
Yeah. So Stavros, people should check him out. Stavi, I absolutely love him. I saw him in Chicago and he just goes, have you ever noticed how everything in this country is shittier and more expensive? Also that a handful of billionaires could be miserable in public.
Yeah.
And that broke me. I was like, that's exactly what's wrong with everything right now. Everything is worse. Reese's peanut butter cups don't taste as good because they don't use real chocolate. Oreos are thin now. Our streaming services are bullshit and everything is more expensive. It's bullshit.
And wages
are not rising.
That was Mike's first campaign speech right there.
There you go. I am now young Bernie Sanders. Like, that's what's happening.
Yeah, for real. Running on streaming services. Radicalization moment. But speaking of the Pope, I think that was a good transition to the Pope, what you said earlier, that even this is a wake-up moment for so many MAGA people. It is all a wake-up moment. And these types of mistakes are going to be the effective end of Trump's term once he gets voted out in the midterms. Once Republicans get voted out, MAGA Mike Johnson will lose his power as the Speaker, and the Republicans will find themselves in the minority. This Pope thing was big, and we can't let them forget this. I saw people like Michael Knowles coming out saying, the president should delete this. And then, of course, Michael Knowles kind of ran defense after and said, I'm so glad he deleted it. He probably did think it was a doctor. They're all liars. But
ridiculous. People, it was ridiculous.
So ridiculous. People like Cam Higby, these commentators were saying that no blasphemy in the Oval Office should be allowed. So they were genuinely pissed. And I think there's a difference between the MAGA commentators like Michael Knowles, who will always revert back to being pro-MAGA, versus the average person who's actually experiencing the high gas prices, combined with a president who's more focused on posting Jesus memes. I mean, just imagine this. How did America not learn from the first term that you shouldn't roll the die and elect an orange lunatic who will be tanking the economy while posting memes? How did America not learn and predict that this would happen again? Now people are learning the hard way as Donald Trump is, you know, face planting face first into the global stage as Iran blockades or takes advantage of the Strait of Hormuz, and the United States has to match their blockade. Did you see the memes that were floating around Chinese media where it was like the Iran blockade, then it showed the United States, then it was like China, EU, and it was like just a funny, like, what if all the countries just start their own version of a blockade?
So on Michael Knowles for a second, I want to make, there's a funny debate happening in the chat right now about Girl Scout cookies and how they suck. And I think it's hilarious. So I'm just I'm dying people over here talking about like, yes, the Girl Scout cookies do suck. Mm-hmm. You're right. Look, two separate things happened that offended a great deal of religious Americans. Right. And I'm a practicing Catholic. It's a really important part of my value set. The reason I'm a Democrat is because I care about taking care of my neighbors, right? Like what you do for the least of us, you do for me, right? I think it's just an important part of who I am as an individual. And there's two things that happened. One, the president of the United States has repeatedly posted attacks on Pope Leo. He posted another one overnight, which was ridiculous. It is a lie that Pope Leo didn't speak out about the murder of tens of thousands of Iranians when they were protesting in the streets. He absolutely did. And they keep lying about that to try to undermine his critiques of the war in Iran. And then there's the Jesus meme, right? If you'll notice, all the evangelical, Protestant, Christian nationalist influencers that are out there, very, very offended by the Jesus meme. They are not offended by the attacks on the Pope. And I think it's important to note that only one of those two things has gotten deleted and corrected, and it's the Jesus meme. It is not the offense on Catholic Americans. It is not the attacks on the Pope. And a big part of the reason here is, and look, I'm Catholics voted for Donald Trump by double digits. It pisses me off because they're usually a reliable voting block for Democrats, but they were alienated for reasons we don't have time to get into right now. But when Pete Hegseth and these Christian nationalists who use religion as a shield to justify the shitty things they want to do to women and trans kids and anybody that disagrees with them, when they see their perfect utopia of God and the state combined, they don't have room for Catholics there. They don't. And Catholics are disposable to MAGA. That is ultimately what it is. And if you listen to, like, even like, I watched Michael Knowles' show. I watched just the part where he talked about the Catholic Church because I was interested in it because he's a prominent Catholic. And It was the most mealy mouth defense of the president and saying, like, oh, I probably wouldn't like this, but there's always been tension between the church and the state. And I'm like, yeah, but Joe Biden didn't attack Catholic bishops when they were considering him not getting communion because he was too pro-abortion for them. So, like, it's very frustrating to me to watch conservatives wrap themselves in the flag and use the Bible like a shield and wrap themselves in family values, and they're the biggest hypocrites on the planet. And I'm absolutely tired of it. And I think they've exposed themselves this week. Like, I wrote a piece yesterday for my Substack about how much I appreciate these moments when Donald Trump does something so fucking ridiculous that my non-political friends text me about it, because it shines a mirror on who these people really are, and you see who the real hacks are. And so when Ben Shapiro and Michael Knowles and the rest of them are defending the president on this stuff, when J.D. Vance last night at the TPUSA event, which, by the way, was poorly attended, it was 25% attendance, was so bad that Erica Kirk was like, I'm not even going to show up. Like, he's out there defending Donald Trump, and he's the nation's most high-profile Catholic, and he can't defend his own faith. He can't say that it's wrong to attack your faith leader like that. It pisses me off. It just goes to show you these people are all fakes and phonies.
In fact, J.D. Vance said that the Pope shouldn't be involving himself in politics like that after J.D. Vance flew across the world to go involve himself in another country's politics and then lose that election and then say he had nothing to do with it whatsoever. He didn't even know why he was there. Like, dude.
Can I add two things to that before you go down the Orban rabbit hole? Because J.D. Vance said two things. He was like, I think the Pope should stick to faith and not politics. And I'm like, and if you watch Pope Leo, it's just like, all I said was blessed be the peacemaker. Like, so it's like, you know, it's like the Pope is like, blessed be the peacemaker. J.D. Vance is like, oh, hang on, guy. Don't get political on me there. Don't make me actually live and understand my faith. And then the other thing he said, he was like, you know, I reject the idea from the Vatican that God is not with our military. You know, and like, look, I think God is watching over anybody who puts themselves in harm's way. I don't blame members of the military for what's happening in Iran right now. They're being given orders by corrupt politicians like Donald Trump and J.D. Vance. But there's a very famous Bible quote, right? Live by the sword, die by the sword. Like, very famous. So, like, these people have never picked up a goddamn Bible in their lives. They just haven't. And they have zero interest in living by it unless it's about, like, controlling reproductive rights and attacking trans kids. It's all that they use religion for. Oh, and they use it to build giant evangelical megachurches so that they can, you know, just steal money from their parishioners. I'm in a mood today, Adam. I apologize.
No, this is great. This is such a great, this is probably one of the best rants on the internet about the Pope and about this clash. I'm glad that's water there. I thought you were opening like a jug of like a tin of vodka or something. I'm like, damn,
no,
bro.
No, it's just my vitamin water.
9 a.m. By the way,
we have cans of Liquid Death. And so sometimes when I'm on the show and I crack one over, people are like, are you drinking a beer? And I'm like, I wish. Like,
it's 7 a.m. 7 a.m. or it's like 9 a.m. All right.
5 o'clock somewhere, Adam.
Viktor Orban in one second. But again, if you want to support independent media, support the team that Mike Nellis and I are building, you can make sure to hit the heart on the Substack live stream. We're at 1,200, almost 1,300 live. We're hitting new records every single week. Independent media is growing very, very rapidly. All right, to bring it back, that was really funny what you said a minute ago about, like, all he said was blessed be the peacemaker, or that you should fight wars in a just manner. Essentially, he said unjust wars shouldn't be fought. And they were like, are you talking to me? Are you getting political? And that's the modern day Republican Party. You can say, like, listen, I don't think rapists should be in positions of power. I don't think rapists should be like a school principal or president. They're like, why are you making everything so political? Dude, we're just trying to have some sort of moral clarity at a time when the president clearly has none. When J.D. Vance is traveling halfway across the world to help tyrants get elected. I love the fact that Viktor Orban lost. And this might be a good place to kind of just start to wrap it up, because Viktor Orban represented this far-right populist wave across the globe. Viktor Orban was the tentpole, the the blueprint, if you will, for a lot of these right-wing movements. Elon Musk was trying to replicate this across Europe, and he wasn't hiding it. If you look it up or if you go on Elon's Twitter feed, Elon was trying to replicate the Viktor Orban illiberal, undemocratic model across Europe, where he's very corrupt and he essentially was buying off elections for decades. And it took a massive coalition, as you said, to beat him. J.D. Vance decided to travel there at a time when we're at war and stump for this guy who is pro-Vladimir Putin and who was losing in the polls. And this shows the poor acumen of J.D. Vance. But on a broader level, it shows the fizzling out of this far-right movement. And you know what? You know what it makes me think? Oh, people in chat are calling for you to run. Run, Mike. Do it.
You all could talk to my wife about running, okay?
Like, yeah.
Maybe for like city council. That'd be about it.
You know what? Honestly, this has been my journey when it comes to this far-right movement. When Donald Trump won this election, and when I saw Elon Musk buying Twitter and using it to spread all of this far-right propaganda, I was pretty worried. And I still am very worried. I saw that Ukraine was losing support. Ukraine was losing funding. Russia was gaining territory, both in the real world and on the online space. I was so worried 16 to 18 months ago. But somehow, Donald Trump and J.D. Vance and Viktor Orban and Vladimir Putin and a lot of these right-wingers have collapsed this global, and Elon Musk, have collapsed this global growing right-wing movement because they're losers and they're unpopular and they overstepped. And people actually do like some baseline level of legal, safe immigration coming into our country. People don't like authoritarian media suppression. Hungarians just proved that. So it's so nice to see the dissolving, the fracturing of this far-right movement. It is not even close to dead. It will always exist in some form, but we're going to continue to push back. Any final wrap-up words?
Yeah, I have just a couple of disparate thoughts. The first thing is, if you're asking me to run for Congress, you should be pushing Adam to run for Congress. He's almost eligible, okay?
No.
He's got 1 year away, and we live in the same congressional district, everybody, okay? He lives 10 minutes away from me. So that's number one. I want to go back to just the Pope thing for a second. Just add one more thought, because there's another talking point out there that they're like, oh, what would Pope Leo say during World War II? Would he tell us to make peace with the Nazis? And I'd be like, no, first of all, because the Catholic Church had a really bad position on Nazism, which I don't really want to talk about because it's a stain on the Catholic Church's legacy. But you'll notice Pope Leo, when he's criticizing people on war, he criticizes the aggressor. Okay, we are the aggressor here, not Iran. All right, we made a decision to invade, or not invade, excuse me, but attack with no justification. And that was a choice that we made. So we're the aggressor here in the same way that Russia is the aggressor in Ukraine. All right. And that's why they're taking this so hard. They can't handle it. And I just want to add one final thing on J.D. Vance and Viktor Orban here, because everything J.D. Vance touches goes to shit. Every single thing goes to shit. It's hilarious. He destroyed the national championship trophy when Ohio State won the national championship. He killed Pope Francis, which I love that. I love that joke. It's so dark to me, but it's hilarious. Viktor Orban loses. Broke the peace deal. The TPUSA event yesterday was 25% attended. Like, he is the worst of the worst with nothing to offer. Hell, he wrote a book about his pathway to Catholicism and then put a Methodist church on the front cover of it. And I've said this before. I probably said it on the show last week, Adam, but like, you can say whatever you want about the Catholic Church, but one thing we are fucking really good at is building beautiful churches. So how do you not put a Catholic church on the front page of your book, on the cover of your book? I mean, it's unbelievable to me. But the reason that this world order from the right is collapsing is because they've done nothing to deliver for people. Okay. Every election that they've won, including 2024, is a reaction to what happened under COVID, which was the hyperinflationary period, people being trapped in their house, the trauma that we've all experienced. And they were able to capitalize on that and remove people who were much more part of the pro-democracy liberal order. But they've done nothing but steal from the American people. Okay. Viktor Orban stole money from Hungarian taxpayers to pay for CPAC and probably MAGA influencers. Donald Trump's made $4 billion to put in his back pocket, and you got nothing. It's a lot of circus and it's no bread. And if they understood that, they would probably be able to succeed in this moment, but they've royally fucked it up. And Elon Musk spends more time posting stupid conspiracy theory memes on the internet than building his own companies, which is why Tesla's stock is so far down. And he's losing the fight internationally on electric cars. And that is, I'll end my rant there.
Yeah, we need to fight her, Mike Nellis, more often. And we did all this without even mentioning the Epstein files. Like, we just did a whole segment and we didn't even mention the main pedophile allegations. We're going to leave it there. Yep. Subscribe for more if you want to be here at our 10 a.m. usually 10 a.m. Central shows on Wednesday and Saturday. You can pop it on Substack. I have a feeling this summer we're going to be reaching like 4,000 or 5,000 live viewers. We're going to start expanding in time as well. But I love you all.
I think so.
Peace out.
I think we're gonna do one of these in person. We're gonna find like a bar and we're gonna each have a beer. We're gonna invite everybody who can come.
That would be sick as hell.
I think that'd be really fun. Everybody, I appreciate you. Make sure you subscribe to Adam on Substack. $8 a month, $80 a year. Just be a paid member. Helps us pay for our staffs. Helps us pay for our studios. Appreciate all of you. Bye.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane. Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.